Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday the 3rd of June 2025. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Kristen Dennison and Ralph Weirs. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 4:47 and sunset is at 9:10. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Ox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
The deaths of three people in the fire at Bicester Motion were the result of multiple traumatic injuries consistent with the collapse of the building, say police who are investigating the blaze. New details have been released on the circumstances surrounding the deaths of two hero firefighters and a local businessman during the blaze at the motoring centre in Bicester on May the 15th. Jenny Logan, aged 30, and Martin Sadler, aged 38, were the two firefighters killed in the tragedy on Buckingham Road in Bicester, which also claimed the life of 57-year-old father of two, David Chester, who worked at the site. An initial report from the post-mortem examination has revealed that all three people died from multiple traumatic injuries, which are consistent with the collapse of part of a structure. In addition, the fire caused serious injuries to two other firefighters, who police have said remain in hospital in stable conditions. Assistant Chief Constable Dennis Murray said, "Our thoughts remain first and foremost with the families, friends and colleagues of Jenny Logan, Martin Sadler and Dave Chester, as well as the injured firefighters and their loved ones following this tragic incident. Our initial investigations suggest that all three sustained injuries in line with those typically caused by the collapse of part of a structure. This remains an unexplained death investigation and is being led by our major crime unit, who continue to work with fire investigators and the health and safety executive to ascertain the cause of the fire and the circumstances surrounding the sad deaths of Jenny, Martin and Dave. We again extend our deepest sympathies to everyone who has been affected by this incident." Following these details being released, Bicester Motion has published its own update on the situation. A spokesperson said, "We recognise how painful this news is and hope that their privacy can be respected as they continue to grieve. We remain fully committed to cooperating with the relevant authorities as they continue their inquiries." Since the fire, almost 2 weeks ago, tributes have been made and held around Oxfordshire for the three people who died during it. Exactly a week after the first call to the fire services, 6:39 p.m. on Thursday, May the 22nd, Crews from around Oxfordshire held a minute's silence in memory of the victims. Oxfordshire Chief Fire Officer Rob McDougall also honoured the three, stating, "Both Jenny and Martin demonstrated exemplary bravery and service throughout their careers. Their loss has deeply affected all those who knew, loved and served with them." Other tributes include over £20,000 being raised for the firefighters charity and the families of the victims by a fundraiser organised by Bicester Rugby Union Football Club, of which both Ms. Logan and Mr. Sadler were members.
Retailer M&S has confirmed that it will be opening a new store in a former home base site on a retail park in South Oxfordshire. The home base at Fair Acres Retail Park in Abingdon shut down in February earlier this year after the company went into administration, leaving the warehouse-style store empty. Now, popular fashion, beauty, homeware, and food retailer Marks & Spencer has announced it will be moving in. The huge retailer will open a food store at Abingdon's former home base, expected to be up and running by the end of this year. The huge retail site spans more than 18,000 square feet and comes as part of the company's rotation and renewal program. This is a drive to establish the right stores in the right place with the right space, part of an intended transformation for the business to enable growth. It will include the opening of 12 new food stores in total, which the company claims will create 550 new jobs, with 8 of them to be completed by summer 2026. Last year, M&S opened 6 food stores and 2 full-line stores and renewed 9 existing stores. In a strong year for the company, food sales outperformed target by approximately 20%. M&S CEO Stuart Machen said, "Investing in new and renewed stores is one of our key transformation priorities. Securing these highly desirable sites in priority locations will accelerate this strategy, drive further growth in our M&S food business, and most importantly, give our customers the best possible M&S shopping experience. The thoughtfully designed new food stores will carry the full range of M&S food products, including market-style fruit and vegetables, bakeries, and fresh coffee. They will also have click-and-collect counters for online orders from the retailer's wider fashion, home, and beauty range. Features of the renewed stores include larger car parks, brighter entrances, the introduction of coffee bakeries, more spacious aisles, and expanded frozen sections. Shoppers and workers were left questioning what would become of the home base in Fair Acres Retail Park in Abingdon after the company went into administration in November last year. Although the store only opened in 2021, alongside a Little and a Costa Coffee, it was not included in a rescue deal from The Range, the trading name of CDS Superstores. Chris Dawson's CDS Retail Group saved 70 stores and up to 1,600 jobs in the deal, including stores in Oxford and Bicester, but left the future of a further 49 stores unclear. It's now clear that Landlords May Properties has handed over the lease for the retail site to M&S.
A Sunday bus service connecting Cheltenham, Burford, Whitney and Oxford will run more frequently this summer. Stagecoach has announced an enhanced Sunday service on the S2 route, following collaboration with Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire County Councils. From Sunday, June the 1st to Sunday, September the 28th, the S2 will operate every 2 hours on Sundays, matching the frequency of the Monday to Saturday service. Funded by the Bus Service Improvement Plan, it is hoped the change will support local tourism and leisure trips during the summer months. Chris Hansen, Managing Director at Stagecoach West, said, "We're delighted to increase the frequency of our Sunday service on the S2. Thanks to Bus Service Improvement Plan funding and the support of our local authority partners, we're able to offer more flexible travel options and help boost tourism and local economies across Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire. The improvement is part of a Bus Service Improvement Plan funded package of new Sunday services across Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire and Warwickshire, designed to improve access to the Cotswolds."
A mystery donation of 6 famous guitars in mint condition, favoured by Elvis Presley and Bob Dylan, have sold for more than £12,000 in Whitney. The valuable instruments, as well as an amp, were donated at the Oxfam shop in Whitney's High Street at the end of last year by an anonymous donor. Among the collection was a Martin D28 acoustic guitar, famously used by artists such as Neil Young, David Gilmour, and Bob Dylan. A Gibson Custom Shop Banner 1942 J5 acoustic guitar was also featured, which was a favorite of the King, Elvis Presley. After being assessed by the Whitney Shop volunteers, the guitars were quickly identified as being potentially very valuable. The items were placed for auction with Eubanks, with the whopping £12,666 sale made last week. Chris Meadows, one of the volunteers who took in the donation, said, "Near the end of last year, a chap came in and asked if we took in guitars as donations. We said yes, and the next thing we knew, he had come back in with a few guitar cases and an amp. I don't know anything about guitars, but I remember seeing the cases and thinking they looked valuable, not knowing quite how valuable they were. I started researching them with my colleague, and we pretty quickly realized how special these guitars were. The very generous gentleman who donated them must have known they were very valuable and knew what kind of money they might be able to help make for Oxfam." The Martin D28 1937 aged acoustic guitar, made in 2019 with no strings in a Martin hard case with a foldable Cooper stand, sold for £3,400. Also featured was the Gibson ES-335 electric guitar, which went for £2,800, while the Fender Champ 57 amplifier sold at £360. Elvis's favorite, the Gibson Custom Shop Banner 1942 J45 acoustic guitar in a hard case, which was made on the 31st of May 2020 in Kalamazoo, raised £2,200. A Gretsch White Falcon G6136 55 VS electric guitar, made in 2022 in a hard case, then fetched £1,400. A further £1,300 came from a Rickenbacker 1993 Pete Townsend reprise 12-string electric guitar, made in 2020 with a hard case. Lastly, a Guild F512 MPL 12-string acoustic guitar in a hard case brought in £1,200 for the charity. John Silk, Eubanks music valuer, said, "We are thrilled at Eubanks to have been able to offer these stunning guitars. Each one of these six guitars, from the Gibson ES-335 to the Martin D28, would be high on any guitar player's dream list."
Campaigners against the Environment Agency's plans for the new Oxford Flood Alleviation Scheme have said they will consider legal action. The Secretary of State for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs approved compulsory purchase orders for land in West Oxfordshire to complete the scheme on May the 12th. This means Oxfordshire County Council are now free to consider the wider planning implications of the £176 million project to be brought before the Planning Committee. The defences, which would create a new 5-kilometre stream fed by the Thames through the existing floodplain to the west of Oxford, is designed to protect more than 160,000 homes. Objectors say the scheme as it stands will damage environmentally sensitive land, cost millions more than it needs to, and disregards residents' concerns. But a public inquiry held in December 2023 and January 2024 concluded with a recommendation to the Secretary to approve the purchase orders. In her recommendations issued in March last year, Inspector Joanne Burston said, "On the basis of the evidence put before me, I recommend that, in terms of the overall scheme, the public benefits would clearly outweigh the adverse impacts identified." Project Director Robbie Williams said the approval is a major step forward for the project, ensuring we can bring this vital flood protection to the city. Responding to the inquiry conclusion, campaigner Brian Durham of New Hinksey said, "The inspector has recorded a lot of important testimony, but intriguingly, none of it made it through to her conclusions. There is a growing consensus amongst campaign groups that we should challenge this report and or the planning process that runs in parallel." Throughout the inquiry, the inspector seemed to be in touch with the arguments she was hearing. If this is the report she submitted 13 months ago to the then Environment Secretary, it's not clear why it was kept back in this time of climate change and with high river levels again last year. Campaign groups objecting include the Ferry Hinksey Trust, the Oxford Flood and Environmental Group, and the Hinksey and Osney Environmental Group. They stressed that they do not object in principle to a flood alleviation scheme, as many of them have been victims of Oxford flooding in the past. However, they expressed frustration that the agency has not considered alternatives they submitted for the project, which they claim would protect the environment and reduce cost. Mr. Durham added, "This whole scheme has taken so long from design, planning and the CPO steps. Inside what has been a steamroller approach is a racing car, a means to deliver the needed flood protection much faster and with less expense than the Environment Agency scheme. The estimated £176 million budget has increased by 33%. We've been offering lower cost alternatives for years, but with no response." He said the campaigners are keeping all legal options open and, after the council's planning committee, will take further legal advice on our options, including a judicial review.
A 35-year-old from Didcot is preparing to host a raffle to raise money for a breast cancer charity. Ellie Challis will be undergoing a preventative double mastectomy, the surgical removal of both breasts, to reduce her high risk of developing breast cancer. The mother of one was given an 87% chance of developing the disease due to a genetic condition called PTEN. PTEN is a tumor suppressor gene that encodes a protein which helps to regulate cell growth and division. If the gene does not work as it is meant to, it can lead to an increased risk of cancer and other health issues. Ms. Challis said, "To turn this challenging time into something positive, I've decided to hold a raffle to raise as much as I can for Against Breast Cancer. So far, I have raised over £1,000 and am looking for more prizes and to sell more tickets." Ms. Challis has received £1,150 in donations to a Just Giving page, having initially set a target of £500. Her employer, Oxford Pharmagenesis, has pledged to match all donations up to £500. The raffle will take place on the week commencing June 16th, with winners to be announced via email. Tickets can be bought for £5, and prizes include a £20 voucher from Cook, facial treatment from Glow Up Facials, and a grazing box for four people from the grazing company.
A destructive plant known for wreaking havoc on homeowners has been spotted in parts of Oxfordshire. Japanese knotweed grows up to 3 metres tall, and its roots can reach down to 20 metres underground. While it hibernates over winter, from March and April it returns and can destroy pipework, drains and even weaken building foundations. But the invasive plant specialist EnviroNet UK is here to help, revealing the number of Japanese knotweed hotspots across the county this summer. EnviroNet UK's interactive online tracker, Exposed, the Japanese knotweed heat map, was designed to inform home owners and home buyers of the presence of the destructive plant and the risk to their property. The data is generated from more than 50,000 known infestations, and it adds new sightings daily. There are 87 sightings registered in 5 miles of Iffley Road in Oxford, with the area appearing in red on the heat map. Elsewhere, in areas such as Abingdon, there were 39 sightings, 83 sightings within 5 miles of Kennington, and 69 in Radley. Not only is Japanese knotweed notorious to get rid of, but it is also tricky to spot. Its appearance changes with the seasons, so you need to be aware of what the plant looks like at different times of the year.
The Kennington Community Larder, KCL. This is held in St. Swithin's Church on Wednesdays from 2:30 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. Details as to how to become a larder member are available on the SOFIA website. Although we are unable to accept new members in Kennington, you can still join one of the neighboring larders via the Sofia website, www.sofea.uk.com. Kennington Community Larder was rated very good, 5, after the recently concluded Food Standard Agency inspection. To all volunteers who keep the larder going, to those who provide the homemade cakes for our cafe, to all members and cafe customers, we say thank you. Do drop by for a cup of cake at the cafe. Pastoral support is also available at the cafe. We are grateful for the support of the church, the school, and all our volunteers for keeping the KCL going. A big thank you also to all who donated towards our new shed appeal. We have now commissioned a local supplier who will be providing the shed later this month, Reverend Samson Kaponyi.
8 academics from the University of Oxford have followed in the footsteps of Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein, and Stephen Hawking by being elected Fellows of the Royal Society. The Royal Society is the UK's National Academy of Sciences, and election to the fellowship is one of the highest honours in the scientific world. It is awarded to individuals who have made impactful contributions to knowledge. The new fellows join a prestigious lineage of Royal Society members, including Isaac Newton and Dorothy Hodgkin, as well as Darwin, Einstein, and Hawking. This year's fellowship celebrates outstanding research across the globe, with more than 90 scientists elected from UK and international institutions. The new fellows cover a range of fields, from artificial intelligence and electron microbiology to global health and neuroscience. Professor Irene Tracy, the university's vice chancellor, said, "I am delighted to congratulate our exceptional scientists on their election to the Royal Society. This prestigious recognition is a testament to their remarkable contributions to science and a reflection of the research excellence at Oxford." The Oxford academics elected this year are Professor Kevin Foster, Professor Mike Giles, Professor Jim Hall, Professor Philip Kukura, Professor Philip Poole, Professor David Pyle, Professor Stuart Russell, and Professor Shivaji Sondhi. Professor Hall, Professor of Climate and Environmental Risks at the School of Geography and the Environment, said, "I'm honoured to be in the company of such great scientists, both the current generation of Fellows of the Royal Society and the giants of previous generations, upon whose shoulders we stand. This honour reflects the enormous contributions from my research group and all of the people with whom I've collaborated during my career. Science is a team endeavour, and I've been very fortunate to work with brilliant and inspiring people. I'd particularly like to recognise the hard work of many PhD students and researchers who I've supervised over the years, and the continued dedication of my team in the Oxford Programme for Sustainable Infrastructure Systems. We have many great challenges that we are working on now and aim to solve in the future." The Royal Society's president, Sir Adrian Smith, praised the cohort for their curiosity-driven research and innovation and the diversity of backgrounds, perspectives and experiences they bring to the society. He added, "Their achievements represent the very best of scientific endeavour, from basic discovery to research with real-world impact across health, technology and policy."
Towards Twinning, a celebration of global friendship. Kennington is making history. Kennington, we believe, will be the first village in Oxfordshire and probably the second in England to twin with an African village. We're preparing to officially twin with Musanda, a vibrant village in western Kenya near Lake Victoria and the Ugandan border. This joyful event kicks off a meaningful partnership. On Sunday, the 18th of May, we took the first step on this exciting journey. We met two young, remarkable leaders. We were honored to welcome Rajab and Eunice, two inspiring young professionals from Musanda supported by the Niseo Trust, and both living proof of the power of community. Rajab joined Naseo at just 7 years old after losing his parents. Thanks to continued support, he trained in clinical medicine and now works on the front line at Naseo's medical center, delivering vital health care to his community. Eunice, orphaned as a teenager, found stability and purpose with Naseo's support. She's since completed her education and now works as a social worker, caring for vulnerable children and families. If you've ever volunteered with Naseo, she's probably the first person who welcomes you. They're not just visiting, they're here to receive a national award on behalf of the Naseo Trust, which has been named Best Performing Charity by the Egmont Trust. This was an afternoon of inspiration and community spirit, hosted by Reverend Samuel Kaponayi, uplifting music from Kennington Chorale, and the scouts received letters from their Kenyan pen pals. The chairman of the parish council was at hand to welcome all, and other village organizations shared their ideas for connecting. One example is an annual online book review, FOKL. After the event, there were refreshments in the church hall, where we chatted with Rajab, Eunice, and Nancy Mundayo Hunt, the founder of the Naseo Trust and the person who first introduced us to Musanda.
People will have the chance to step into the world of ancient Rome with historian Dame Mary Beard when she visits Oxford later this year. Dame Mary will be presenting a live event that dives into the lesser-known stories of ancient Rome at the New Theatre on Thursday, October the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. She will go beyond the typical narratives of emperors and battles, shedding light on the lives of those often overlooked in history books. This includes exploring the gritty reality of a gladiator's life in the arena and the turbulent final days of the Roman Republic. Organisers said, "This isn't just about the past. Mary draws thought-provoking connections between Roman politics and today's world. What can we learn from the rise and fall of the Roman Republic? And how might it resonate with the political landscapes we navigate today?" Don't miss the chance to ask your own questions as Mary Beard unpacks the history that shaped one of the greatest empires of all time. Whether you're a history enthusiast or a curious newcomer, this evening promises to be a spectacular journey through time, leaving you with fresh insights into both ancient and modern worlds. The show will last an hour and 50 minutes, including an interval, and is not recommended for children under the age of 12. Tickets are available from £33.24 with a £3.95 transaction fee per order.
New longer-stay parking spaces will be added near an historic church in Oxford with the aim of helping those with mobility issues and heavy equipment. The four-hour stay parking bays will be introduced in Church Way and Mill Lane near St. Mary's Church in Iffley for approximately 6 standard-sized vehicles between 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. every day. Oxfordshire County Council approved putting a controlled parking zone, CPZ, in place in Iffley last November. This means parking is restricted to designated parking bays for householders and businesses, while non-permit holders would be eligible to park for a maximum of 2 hours. Some householders raised concerns about how people would access the church by car, so the council decided to investigate options for providing longer-stay parking spaces. Councillor Andrew Gant, Cabinet Member for Transport, agreed to the plans at the delegated decisions for the leader of the council meeting last week when he chaired instead of Councillor Liz Lefman. County Councillor Brad Baines, who represents the ISIS division, said he was extremely supportive of the proposals. He added that they would provide a limited number of spaces for those with mobility issues and those who needed to carry heavy equipment to the church for different events.
Oxford service station has been rated the worst on the M40, according to new research, scoring particularly poorly on prices. The Welcome Break motorway stop was named the public's least favourite on the London to Oxford to Birmingham route in a survey by consumer champion Which. It scored below Reading, Charwell Valley, Warwick and the leader Beaconsfield. The survey of almost 90 motorway service stations around the UK considered prices, cleanliness, outdoor space and convenience and accessibility, as well as the range and quality of shops, food and drink outlets and facilities. The overall winner and the best service station in the country is Gloucester, operated by the Westmoreland family, with an 85% customer score and full marks on all points aside from price. Oxford, meanwhile, scored a measly 49% with 1 out of 5 stars on price and 2 on outdoor space. Beaconsfield, the highest rated on the M40 and operated by Extra, achieved 56% with 4 stars on its range and quality of food and drink outlets. According to Which, the worst motorway services is Moto's Bridgewater, which respondents to the survey said is cramped and has facilities that look and feel filthy, with toilets that smell of stale urine. Moto responded by stating it had invested £55 million into its service stations over the past 2 years, and that other research had been far more positive about Bridgewater. The Oxford services can be found off Junction 8A on the M40 and include several food and drink options from KFC to Starbucks and other shops such as Tesla and WH Smith. On Which's survey, the only other Oxfordshire service is Charwell Valley, which is further north on the M40 between Bicester and Banbury. It achieved a 51% customer rating, scoring averagely on most points, though, like Oxford, was given a 1 star on price. One of the reasons for conducting the survey, said the consumer champion, is so that drivers can plan their trips better and stop at the best service station possible. For instance, on the M6, there are only 2 junctions between Southwaite Motor, which scored 41%, and the Westmoreland Family Services in T-Bay, which achieved 77%. In terms of the M40, Which's survey suggests travellers should plan to stop at Beaconsfield services near London rather than Oxford, with 35 miles between the two. This latest survey from Which comes 4 years after they had previously run the research. It is based on the almost 9,000 experiences of over 4,000 members of the Consumer Champion Group and was conducted in November and December 2024.
A village scarecrow trail has returned with the theme of fictional book characters. The East Hagbourne event will run until Sunday, June 8th. Participants can follow the trail and vote for their favorite scarecrows, with the creator of the winning scarecrow receiving a cup. Maps are available for £1 from East Hagbourne Community Shop and The Fleur. The Hagbourne Action Group will sell tea and cake in the church during the afternoon of June 8th, when maps will also be on sale. The money raised from the event will go to WaterAid and Oxfordshire Wildlife Rescue, which operates a 24-hour wildlife service throughout the Oxfordshire and West Berkshire area.
One of the best-reviewed comedy shows at the Edinburgh Fringe is coming to Oxford. Trigev Wakenshaw will entertain an audience at the Old Fire Station on Friday, June the 20th, with Silly Little Things. The show, which was ranked in the top 5 best-reviewed comedy shows at last year's Edinburgh Fringe, is part of a UK tour running from May to June. It sees the mime artist create an experimental playground, spinning ridiculous scenes out of the smallest funny ideas and conjuring up slapstick magic. The production has received high praise from critics, with Neil Patrick Harris describing Mr. Wakenshaw as an exquisite, uncanny physical performer in a silent show about a magician and his rabbit. The stage gave the show 5 stars and said Mr. Wakenshaw had excellent comedic nous, while the British Theatre Guide also awarded 5 stars and described it as hilarious. One Four Review called it sublime, the Reviews Hub said it was mesmerising, and Entertainment Now labelled it genius. Chortle gave it 4.5 stars and said it was wonderfully funny, while Fest described it as physical mastery. Tickets for the 7:30 p.m. show at the Old Fire Station are priced at £18. Mr. Wakenshaw will also visit Bristol on May the 28th, Bridport a day later, and Brighton and Hove on June the 19th.
An Oxford University College chef has been recognised for creating the best plant-based canapé in a prestigious competition. Christchurch Commis chef Gretel Nava was awarded the prize at the City of Oxford Guild of Chefs annual Junior Chef of the Year competition. The competition celebrates excellence exhibited by early career chefs across the Oxfordshire area, showcasing their talent and providing them with recognition within their industry. Open to chefs with fewer than 4 years of experience, it was held on April 16th at the City of Oxford College. Competitors were tasked with preparing four different selections of canapés, meat, fish, vegetarian, and plant-based, with eight of each variety. Chefs were required to produce their canapés with Kaufman's blue potatoes as the main element, with the panel of judges led by Chef Pierre Kaufman.
A Didcot Darts League has presented a cheque for £2,700 to the town's community hospital following another successful season of fundraising. The Didcot Invitational Darts League, run by Norman Bennett for more than 50 years, has been raising money for the hospital for decades. Mr. Bennett said, "The latest amount of money was raised through competitions held throughout the year, and we hold events in the summer, winter, and at either end of the season. I've been raising money for Didcot Hospital since the early 1970s, and the total must be running into several thousands over the years." He explained the fundraising began when someone donated a trophy and they decided to use it as an opportunity to support a local cause. Mr. Bennett said, "There are lots of local people who receive help and care from Didcot Hospital, so that seemed like a perfect cause." Jonah Mutera, ward manager at the hospital, added, "It's wonderful that the Darts League think of us and have done so over so many years. The staff at the hospital work hard all year round to help and care for people from Didcot and further afield, and it really gives them a lift when someone shows appreciation. Thanks to the generosity of the Darts League and Norman's efforts over the decades, we have been able to buy things and carry out enhancements to things like the garden, and this enhances the experience for patients and visitors."
A gelato shop in Oxford's Westgate Shopping Centre has added a warm weather treat to its selection. Snowflake Gelato is introducing the Snowberry to its artisan range of frozen delights, which already includes the Snow Lemon and Snow Mango. The Snowberry is a smooth strawberry gelato encased in a white chocolate and strawberry shell, finished with a chocolate leaf. As with all of Snowflake's creations, each Snowberry is handcrafted by its team and made with artisan gelato using 100% natural ingredients, including organic Jersey milk from a family farm in Somerset and fresh fruit. The Jersey milk is combined with chopped fresh strawberries, which have been washed with filtered water and transformed into gelato with a soft serve machine. The gelato is then frozen into strawberry-shaped molds, dipped in a white chocolate and strawberry blend to create Snowflake's signature shell, and served on a stick. Asad Khan, founder and CEO of Snowflake Gelato, said, "After countless hours spent in the innovation lab, our team has perfected the Snowberry, blending the passionate Italian way of making gelato with the finest ingredients from British farmers. We're really proud to be able to say that each of our frozen treats is handmade, and we hope that treat seekers across the country will enjoy tasting the Snowberry as much as we enjoy making them."
An Oxfordshire man who woke up in hospital unable to speak after a stroke has found his voice again through singing. Paul Perkins, 68, from Grove, suffered a stroke that left him with aphasia, a condition which makes it difficult to speak, read, write, or understand language. However, as singing is controlled by a different part of the brain, it can be unaffected by a stroke. Just 2 weeks after his stroke, Mr. Perkins surprised his partner, Miriam, by singing Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love. Mr. Perkins, a carpenter, was having tea with a client when he collapsed from his stroke in April 2023. He woke up in hospital 3 days later, unable to speak. Mr. Perkins, who is sharing his story in support of the Stroke Association during Stroke Awareness Month, said, "At first I couldn't talk at all. It was a very difficult time for me. I became quite frustrated and aggressive. I knew what words I wanted to say, but they wouldn't come out. Miriam often played music for him while he recovered in hospital, hoping it would cheer him up. She said he was against it initially, but I didn't know why. Later in his recovery, he told me it was because he always loved singing along to his favourite songs, and he was worried that music would remind him of everything he couldn't do anymore. I still played songs for him in the background. One day, Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley came on, and Paul started singing out of the blue. It was such a surprising and emotional moment. For Mr. Perkins, it felt like a breakthrough in his recovery. He said, "As the words came back to me, I started to feel like myself again. I still struggle with my speech, but singing has given me the confidence to keep trying. I find ways to practice every day." Mr. Perkins and Miriam also incorporated singing into his speech therapy. Miriam said, "We'd make up games and sing the answers to each other. There's something about the rhythm of singing that makes it easier for Paul to get the words out." Mr. Perkins now volunteers at Abingdon Community Hospital's stroke unit, helping other stroke survivors on their recovery journey by encouraging them to sing. He said, "I really want to support others in any way that I can. I visit the stroke unit once a week and organise singing lessons for some of the patients. We get together, play something online, and just follow along. All they want to do is communicate by singing. It's so rewarding to see the joy on their faces."
Zach McEachran has agreed to extend his stay at Oxford City going into the 2025-26 season. The 30-year-old creator scored 11 goals and registered 7 assists in the Vanarama National League North during the most recent campaign and has been a long-term key player for the Hoops. City finished 19th in National League North this season, 14 points above the relegation zone, and McEachran is looking forward to pushing higher up the division in the next campaign. He told the Hoops website, "It was a simple decision to make. This is a fantastic football club. I enjoy playing here, and I think this year we are all determined to make amends for what was a disappointing season last time round. The club is certainly moving in the right direction, and I want to be a part of that." City manager Ross Jenkins added, "Everyone knows the talent and ability that Zach possesses, and he's never going to be short of admirers. But as soon as we sat down to talk about a new deal, he made it clear that he wants to be here and is truly committed to what we are trying to build. I am sure fans will love this signing. He is hugely popular with them, and this is a great start to the summer as we strengthen and prepare for a successful new season." Last month, it was announced that both Hoops skipper Rhys Fleet and Lewis Coyle will be leaving the club this summer, with a further 7 players later released.
Speedway and Oxford Spires were beaten 58-32 in their premiership meeting at Bellevue Aces on Bank Holiday Monday. Despite the threat of rain, the fixture went ahead with a smattering of rain both at the start and end of the meeting. Spires went into the fixture without Craig Cook due to illness and used rider replacement for the 38-year-old. Spires were competitive early on, with both Peter Kildermand, Heat 2, and Eric Riss, Heat 3, winning races, while they were a little unfortunate in Heat 4. Charles Wright moved from 4th to 1st to join Kildermand at the front when the Bellevue riders got into a tangle between themselves on the 3rd lap, with Jake Mulford crashing down as a result. The race was rerun, with Dan Bewley given a second chance, and he won the race to keep Aces in front. The home side pulled away after that, while Spires lost out on another opportunity for a 5-1 in Heat 12. Kildermand and Rhys were well in front when the latter lifted and fell off the back of his bike. He was soon up to his feet, while this time the race was awarded as a 3-3. That clinched victory for the Aces, while the hosts then outscored Spires 14-4 in the remaining races to finish as convincing winners. Bewley, 13 plus 2, and Brady Kurtz, 12, were unbeaten by a Spire. Kildemand was the top Spires rider, scoring 12 plus 2 from 7 rides, and provided 2 out of 3 of the Spires' heat wins.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 07496 That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening to Oxtalk. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.